And did you hear on my mind every hour of the day without your sweet inspiration?
It's Tuesday night. It's 7 p.m. on the West Coast, which means it's time for the Tammy Jackson Show on the 405. This is Tammy Jackson, and I'm welcoming you to 60 minutes of sweet conservative inspiration. If you want to do so, I tell you every week, go ahead and interact with comments and questions on Twitter during the show. I try to multitask and keep an eye on that. I will read your tweets. Sometimes I'll read them on air if they merit. And follow me at Tammy J, T-A-M-I-J. Now, my first guest tonight is Marion Smith. Marion Smith is a civil society leader, expert in international affairs, and has been executive director of the Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation since 2014. If you're not familiar with that, it was established, I believe, in 1994. The Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation was legally incorporated with the mission to educate this generation and future generations about the ideology, history, and legacy of communism. Marion Smith has also studied in England, France, the Netherlands, Hungary, where he received a master's degree in international relations from Central European University. Marion Smith, thanks so much for making time to be on the show tonight.
Thanks for having me on.
Wow. This is something that's a little bit near and dear to my heart. I think that the general public's knowledge of communism and its repercussions has really waned precipitously since the Cold War. And one reason that it's been on my heart the last few years is I was social marketing director for a movie. It was called Ride the Thunder, and it's still out on DVD and streaming. It was a docudrama about Vietnam, in particular the Easter Offensive, Ripley's Raiders, etc. And it followed American Marines and South Vietnamese Marines that were the TQLC as they fought the Viet Cong, the communists in North Vietnam. And it's interesting that even some 40 years ago, Americans didn't really understand the truth about the barbaric evil that was the communism of the North, that the South Vietnamese were fighting against, and how it was a noble effort. So now here we are, 40 years later, and the work of revisionist history and progressives, aka socialists, it seems like they've virtually expunged true knowledge of communism from our society. I wanted to ask you, Marion Smith, when did you first, become intrigued with communism? When did you become interested in making its eradication and rescuing its victims your life work?
Well, I come from a long line of American patriots, and I was just raised to believe that if you are an American patriot, you are an anti-communist. And as I sort of came of age, I'm a millennial, so I immediately recognized that not necessarily all of my friends and classmates understood that the same way. Many of them in the United States and also in Europe believed that communism is a pretty good set of ideas that has just never been implemented correctly. And of course, that's not true. The ideas of Marxism, Leninism, communism are flawed. They deny the basic aspects of human nature. They deny individual liberty as a right. And so we shouldn't be surprised that every single time they have led to totalitarianism or economic failure. And that's been, some 40 countries in the last 100 years that have attempted communism. And in every case, each of these communist governments has ended up killing a significant percentage of their own people, their own citizens, as a matter of policy in peacetime, not just in war. But they name and target certain segments of the population, either because they are religious or wealthy or have the wrong traditional values. They're not a part of the future, and then they eliminate them from society. This was true in 1917, 100 years ago, when the Bolsheviks took over Russia, hijacked the democratic movement that began in February of 1917, and in October of 1917, hijacked the government, stormed the Winter Palace, imprisoned the Tsar and his family, and brought about the world's first communist state. So certain things happened there to indicate that the ideas of Marxism in practice are deadly and don't bring about even the equality that Marx wanted. And we see it today playing out in Venezuela, where you have the Maduro socialist regime allied with the Cuban Communist Party. And they have, you know, 380 at least political prisoners in Venezuela right now. Maduro, the dictator, has dissolved the parliament. They have attacked parliamentarians of the opposite, you know, dissident parties in the assembly, violently attacked them. And they've killed more than 80 people on the streets who were protesting, mostly young people, unarmed. So we see the same thing playing out there, where years of socialist policies allied with the communist state of Cuba has basically defrauded the Venezuelan people of their future. Venezuela was one of the most prosperous countries, has the largest deposits of natural oil and gas in the region, and now the people there can't even feed themselves. The average Venezuelan has lost 17 pounds since January of this year. They've been eating flamingos and family pets just to stay alive. And all this because the socialist policies of that government won't allow farmers to just plant and grow their own food without meddling in private affairs, in family matters, in local businesses, all to try to bring about some socialist utopia. So the ideas of communism are very much alive in our world today. More than 20% of the world's population today lives in a single-party Leninist state governed by a communist party. And that's Cuba, that's China, that's Vietnam, that's Laos, and that's North Korea. And so, you know, the fact that American millennials would think that communism is perhaps a good idea is certainly akin to thinking that Nazism might be a good idea.
Wow, wow. And I should mention that I'm ensconced here in Oregon. I was born and raised here for the most part. I've been quite a few other places, but I'm in the Portland metro area. And Portland, a lot of people are shocked when I tell them that we have one of the largest communist groups in the nation right in the Portland area. They call themselves the American Democratic Party, Workers' Party, Socialist Workers' Party, something like that. And they do a lot. They do have a lot of demonstrations, and they become quite violent. And if you try to attempt any counter-protest that's peaceful, they won't allow it, and they will become violent. And a lot of this is... I want to say it's helped along by some of the clubs, some of the professors, some of the teaching at Portland State University. So, you know, people were worried about communism and they make fun of McCarthyism and all this sort of thing years ago. But it is alive and well on universities across the nation. Also, you mentioned some stuff that I was going to bring up anyway that I'm so glad you did, because Marion Smith, we see people like Che Guevara become almost pop stars amongst the left. It's despicable. Bernie Sanders and Barack Obama, they glorify Cuba, Venezuela, and other failed oppressive socialist countries. How do we push back?
Well, I think we have to just state the truth, and it doesn't matter who is spreading, you know, lies about the reality of life in Cuba, or the reality of life in China, or the reality of life in North Korea. We have to push back, and we have to simply state the truth. You know, lies die when the truth is spoken. You know, for young millennials, I'm at least heartened that we care about human rights, we care about justice, and yet our attention is very much in the wrong place. And I think that is largely due to a failure of education. So if you know, you've come of age after the Berlin Wall fell, You don't know the history of the 20th century. You don't know why the Vietnam War, the Korean War, and the Cold War were fought by the United States. You don't know that the United States made the difference in the lives of, you know, tens of millions of South Koreans who now live free, where their cousins in North Korea live as slaves under the Kim Jong-un regime. The only thing that made that difference was American service members willing to fight and die on the Korean Peninsula. Throughout the Cold War, we had half of Europe that was dominated and occupied by the Soviet Union. Now those states of Central and Eastern Europe are free, and they're allies of the United States and key trading partners and joint members of NATO, and, you know, allied with the United States. So, you know, it is possible to end the domination of communist parties ruling the lives of people unjustly. And American leadership in the past has made that difference. And the only way we're going to do it today is if our population, our citizens, and especially young people, understand that if you care about women's rights, you must care about the fact that in China, ruled by the Communist Party, where there is no free speech and no private property and no political rights of any kind, that they have coercive family planning units that occupy like police forces that claim responsibility for preventing more than 400 million births in China since the 70s. And this includes forced abortion, where women who don't have the right paperwork to have their first or second child are strapped to a bed in their home or a table, and a forced abortion is performed on them. Now, if you're talking about women in the millions who have had this done by their government to them, and you claim to care about women's rights, and you don't want to stand up for that, you're not a serious person. If you are wearing a Che Guevara t-shirt, and you think that you were talking about social justice on a college campus, you're uninformed, you're ignorant. Che Guevara was a racist who shot and killed black people in Cuba simply because they were black, who shot and killed gay people in Cuba simply because they were gay. So, you know, there are so many lies that are told about the history of communism, how we can view it as anything different than another version of totalitarianism similar to Nazism or radical Islamic Jihad is unthinkable. And we did a poll this past October with YouGov that found that more than 46% of Americans under the age of 35 would vote for a socialist. More than 20% of high school students would vote for a communist. So this proves that young people don't know the basic facts about the history of communist regimes, that they've killed more than 100 million people in the last 100 years, and they don't know about the human rights atrocities that are happening today in the current communist states, where every single week we are hearing stories from these countries about especially young people who are suffering because they have no ability to determine their own future because they have no freedom.
Wow. I love hearing you talk, because this is the education that Americans everywhere, they need to know this, they need to learn this, they need to message this everywhere they go. I want to talk about, of course, the most recent victim of a brutal communist regime, Otto Warmbier. Would you recount his story? How did the victims of Communism Memorial Foundation find out about Otto? What actions did you then take?
Well, we knew about Otto Warmbier from the first day that it was, you know, known that he had been captured by the North Korean regime. You know, the facts that we know are that he was in China and that he went with a group of students into North Korea and was detained by the North Korean officials. They claimed that he attempted to remove a propaganda poster. And that is the action that they then tried him in their court system and punished him to years of hard labor, sentenced him to years of hard labor. And, you know, he had a friend who knew the circumstances, who said that he didn't try to steal a poster. So there's some facts that are a little hazy, but that is at least what the North Korean regime claimed. the day that President Trump was inaugurated, our foundation released a series of video requests asking for the president to do certain things during his term in office. One of those was to seek the release of Otto Warmbier from the North Korean regime. And we are, you know, grateful that the president and the State Department did attempt to seek the release of Otto Warmbier and were successful. It is, you know, a tragedy that they sent him back, the North Korean regime sent him back in a coma, and he died a few years later, a few days later, in his home in Ohio. And, you know, we were especially disturbed to see some of the online comments and articles written by people his age in the United States, some of them saying, you know, we shouldn't feel sorry for Otto. His white privilege didn't help him in North Korea, on and on. He shouldn't have been in North Korea, things like this. It was very clear that many millennials didn't even have a frame of reference to understand what was going on, that, you know, the North Korean regime was simply treating this young American student the way they treat, you know, dozens of Westerners that they have captured, including Americans who they have tortured and killed before, and how they treat millions of their own citizens who are viewed as resources that have no human dignity and certainly no human rights. And it was very clear that, you know, young Americans had very false views about North Korea. And our foundation, you know, sent flowers to Otto's funeral, and we laid a wreath in his honor at our Victims of Communism Memorial in Washington, D.C., on the day of his funeral. And yes, he was one of the more recent victims of a communist regime.
Wow.
And the fact that this is happening in 2017, of course, is sad and absurd. And the fact that so many people aren't aware of what's going on is, of course, unacceptable.
It most certainly is. I also, your publicist sent along something that I read through all this, that the North Korean gulag is responsible for the most horrifying abuse of human rights in the world. It is the tormentor of more than 24 million North Koreans. The Kim family has not only sentenced innocent tourists to decades of hard labor, but as Warmbier's case proves, it abuses them to the point of death. We know of the heinous brutality of ISIS, Marianne, and most Americans know that Kim Jong-un, chairman of the Workers' Party and supreme leader of the DPRK, that he's crazy. They think he's just a little bit crazy, but they don't really know the depth of his depravity. Would you talk a little bit about Kim Jong-un and the things that he's done, and perhaps what the Americans, what the U.S. should, our response should be?
Yeah, well, I mean, I really wish that the actions of Kim Jong-un were unique. But they're not. He is following in the footsteps and doing the same things that his father and his grandfather did. And of course, the Kim family there in North Korea is in power because they were installed as the leaders of a communist state that was set up by the Soviet Union. And this was, you know, part of the Soviets' expansion, the imperialist understanding of communism around the world. And Kim Jong-un is following in the footsteps of the current leaders of China, who also have slave labor camps and also torture and kill political dissidents in China. And, you know, so we've seen dozens of communist leaders and communist parties, you know, torture, kill, and steal the property of people who are deemed enemies of the party, enemies of the state. And, you know, the United States fought an entire Cold War for decades against these governments because they were rightly understood to be a great threat to our way of life, to our security, to our liberty. And this is still the case with North Korea, of course. North Korea, you know, nearly 25 million North Koreans essentially live as slaves in that country. And there is still a state of war existing between North Korea and South Korea, and between North Korea and the United States. That is why we still have U.S. troops stationed along the demilitarized zone separating North and South Korea. North Korea, as many of your listeners will know, is every day working to perfect a nuclear missile that could reach the United States. Much of that technology has come from China. China is the country more than any other that bankrolls North Korea through trade and aid. China protects North Korea diplomatically in the United Nations and other institutions. So, you know, this moment has to help us understand not only what is happening in North Korea, but how North Korea relies on China, and how China uses North Korea to serve as a threat and a check on the United States in Asia and our allies in Asia. And also how that China will turn back people who escape from North Korea and hand them over to the North Korean authorities, knowing full well that those individuals and most likely their families as well will be put into the gulags that exist in North Korea, which are slave labor camps that some years have mortality rates as high as 25%.
Wow.
And, you know, so these are the same kinds of gulags that existed in the Soviet Union. And today, every single day in the year of 2017 so far, there have been individuals for either religious or political reasons, both in China and North Korea, who have been working as slaves in these camps. And many of them have been tortured. There's sexual slavery, and they have been killed.
Wow. I realize what's going on in China. I know people have heard in the past about things like the underground churches. That kind of thing is still going on because there is such repression, such horrible repression in China and these other communist countries. One thing I can relate to is my involvement with that movie. I was down in Southern California for the red carpet grand opening of the movie, and about one half of the audience there were Vietnamese, people that had managed to come here to America, made lives for themselves, but a lot of them were officers and people that had served in the South Vietnamese Army and Marines with our people there, and their subsequent kids and grandkids were there. After the movie and before the reception, a little Vietnamese woman in her 90s came up to me and asked what I did for the movie, and I told her. I felt it was a small part. She came and gave me a hug and started weeping. And she said, "Thank you for making this movie. You showed education camps. You showed what happened to us. And maybe now Americans will realize that we love this country and why we love this country. And we loved our country." And you know, talking about what the communists had done, it affected me profoundly watching the movie while people wept that were from South Vietnam who had lost loved ones in those re-education camps, who knew the horrors of the communist regime as they were helped by China and other communist countries. When you come in contact with that directly and you understand that this isn't some history, this is something that's going on now in our world, and it's so important. Marion Smith, I would advise every listener to bookmark the Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation website. That's victimsofcommunism.org. I've got it linked on the show page. And I also would advise everyone to check out the Initiatives tab on the top menu, which includes educational resources so they can learn more to do more, and to check out the Events tab. You guys have a lot of events coming up. Would you talk a little bit about an event that if I was in D.C., I'd be there in a heartbeat, the Noche Noche, so the Noche Guevara Noche or Night. Talk about what you're going to do.
Sure. Well, first, just a note about your experience. You're exactly right. I mean, one of the most rewarding things every week that I can count on is meeting these people who have come to the United States and seen it as that beacon of liberty that city on a hill, their refuge, and some of the largest immigration refugee waves into the United States have been from communist states, from Cuba, from Vietnam, from China, from Russia, from the states of Central and Eastern Europe, from Ethiopia. And, you know, these people on the whole, they're not asking for reparations. Of course, nothing can be done to bring back their family members who were killed as a matter of policy by those governments. But what they do ask for is truth about the stories and memory about those lives. And that's what our foundation is trying to do. And I would just emphasize that that is not just a backward-looking endeavor, given the ignorance in our own country among millennials, given the advancement of modern Marxist ideas that would say we need to try communism one more time and we'll get it right possibly this time, given the human rights atrocities that are occurring every day. It is crucial that we recognize these people, tell their stories, and help us all understand and have a moral reckoning for something that too many people don't know about. For the Noche Noche event, that is happening on July 19th at the U.S. Capitol in Washington, D.C., and, you know, that week is the anniversary of the killing of Oswaldo Paya, who was the leader of the pro-democracy movement in Cuba. And he was killed in 2012 by Cuban state agents. And we are gathering that day to denounce Che Guevara as a hero of the Cuban people. And we are there to put forward Oswaldo Paya as a true Cuban hero, and to recognize his daughter, Rosa Maria Paya, and an initiative that they have called Cuba Decide, where they are asking for the Cuban authorities to recognize a referendum, a plebiscite, where the Cuban people can decide whether or not they want the Castros to rule the country of Cuba any longer. And so anyone in the D.C. area is more than welcome to join us there. We will be handing out our Noche t-shirts, and we'll have a few members of Congress speaking. We'll have a young person from Venezuela speaking, and a couple of Cubans speaking. So we would encourage you to come out, join us, and you can read more about our activities and some of the stories that we're talking about at our blog, and that's blog.victimsofcommunism.org.
Wow. I can't be there, but I would love to have one of those t-shirts, Marion, so I'll have to try and get in touch with you, see if there's any way I could get one.
We'll try to send you one.
Oh, that'd be fantastic. Hey, Marion Smith, it's been great getting to know you. I'd love hearing you talk about this. I think I could talk about this for a lot longer, but I thank you for taking the time to be on the show tonight. Thank you for what you do, because it's so important that we educate Americans and others concerning the truth about the evil that is communism. And I'd love to have you on again sometime.
I'd be happy to, and thank you for having me on tonight.
Oh, you bet. You're listening to the Tammy Jackson Show on the 405. I will be back on the other side of the break with commentator and blogger Jeff Dunitz. The Tammy Jackson Show is brought to you by Rent-A-Computer. An agent from rentacomputer.com can save your company time and money on your next short-term need for a computer, audiovisual, or office equipment rental. Rentacomputer.com delivers the rental hardware your event needs to your office, trade show booth, or event venue location anywhere in the United States or Canada. Their offerings include Apple iPads, iPhones, Microsoft Surface tablets, and copiers. If you're planning your next corporate event, remember, rentacomputer.com provides a superior turnkey event rental service with one point of contact for clients both large and small. Visit rentacomputer.com or call them at 800-736-8772. That's rentacomputer.com, sponsor of the Tammy Jackson Show.
You're on the 405.
Shop Amazon, support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the talk alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
Be his first day back in a bed, not surrounded by hospital monitors. Be his first awkward dance at prom, his interview at his first real job.
When you join the Be the Match Marrow Registry, you unlock the power to save a life and all the living that comes with it.
Be his memory of warm summer nights surrounded by fireflies. Be his tent beneath the stars, his perfectly sharpened marshmallow stick, and his first burnt marshmallow.
Go to BeTheMatch.org to find more information on the power inside you and the life-threatening diseases that power can heal. With a simple swab from inside your cheek, you'll be a registered marrow donor.
Be his freedom on the open road, his first traffic ticket, his first, and if he can help it, his last, opera.
Thousands of patients, young and old, are searching for a match. Be the one to save a life. Take the first step at BeTheMatch.org.
Pops Radio, short for Pissed Off, Politically Speaking, with Scott Jones on the 405media.com.
Brett Baer, thanks for joining us from Washington.
Hey, great to be here.
Tom Rogan, thanks for being with us.
Great to be with you, Scott. Thanks for having me on.
Cheryl Atkinson, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Is Washington just totally dysfunctional? I mean, to me, this is just unprecedented, Cheryl.
These ties are so deep now, and so at least giving the appearance of corruption, I think people have come to just kind of throw up their hands and distrust nearly every official establishment body.
And your words here on our air today should be horrifying, if not motivating, for anyone who's sitting on the fence about this.
Pissed Off, Politically Speaking, Monday, 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern, only on the 405media.com.
You're on the 405.
Let's talk tech. Tech news discussions from the people in the industry right here in Pittsburgh. Online, gadgets, startups, and more. Check it out at awesomecast.net.
AwesomeCast. It's all about tech and it's all about gadgets. It's AwesomeCast, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the 405media.com.
You're on the 405.
Welcome back, everybody. I just finished up a fantastic half hour with my guest, Marianne Smith. I want everybody to be checking out the show page. But now I'm following that up with a terrific guest. You've heard him before.
I'm the come down, right?
No, you're fantastic as well. Jeff Dunitz, a lot of you know him, but just in case, Jeff Dunitz, he's a conservative and a Jew embedded in the blue territory of Long Island somewhere. Jeff mixes a dash of spiel, political theory, religion, and New York attitude in his political news and commentary. It can be found at his site's Lid blog, and he's added Lid's Vids. We'll talk about that later in the show. He's got a weekly political column at the Jewish Star, and he hosts his own show, The Lid, every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern on SHR Media. You've heard him on here.
It's funny you should mention that. I just got yelled at for using the word God in a tweet.
For using the word God in a tweet? Why?
Well, somebody wrote...
I mean, why'd you get yelled at?
Well, I guess it was by an atheist. He told me to stop wasting everybody's time by mentioning God.
Oh, brother. To which I say, yeah, thank goodness we do mention him, because we need his help and blessing in this nation, and a lot of us still acknowledge that.
Well, I told him, because he said that it's a myth. I said, do you realize that the first chapter of Genesis talks about the Big Bang?
Well, yeah. Hello?
And he goes, no, it doesn't. I go, do me a favor. Read Genesis, and don't worry, it won't give you cooties.
Good for you. Hey, and by the way, you just had a birthday, Jeff. It was a big one. So in front of the whole wide world, happy birthday. How was it?
Thank you. You know, being a diabetic, it's my once a year that I have ice cream cake.
Good for you. What flavor?
Cookies and cream.
Cookies and cream. Well, that's a good flavor. That's fun.
And so, first, we went to see the new Spider-Man movie.
Oh, you told me about that, and you liked it.
Yeah, and folks, don't listen now, because this is a big spoiler, but Tammy the Butler does it.
Oh, we're playing a game of Clue here on the Tammy Jackson Show tonight. Hey, Jeff, I wanted to talk about the latest shameful thing. There's a number of things, but the latest shameful thing that Mayor de Blasio, New York's commie mayor, has done. You have an article up, and by the way, his articles, I have at least two of them linked to his webpage. So you can get over to the Lid and check it out, and bookmark it, read it every single day, and sign up for his newsletter. Do that, because you will get breaking stuff. Jeff's one of the best in the business.
And it's free.
And it's free.
You How don't, many Jews give you free stuff, huh?
That's because they own everything. What do they need to give free stuff for?
Don't laugh. That's what Jay-Z said.
I know. That's too funny. But you have an article titled, New York Post Calls Out Anti-Cop Mayor de Blasio with Epic Front Cover. And it begins, hundreds of grieving cops, family, and neighbors held a candlelight vigil at the 46th precinct in Bronx Saturday night in memory of assassinated wife, mother of three, and NYPD officer Myosotis Familia. Familia was ambushed and shot in the head as she sat in a police vehicle early Wednesday by a cop-hating felon, Alexander Bonds, who was shot dead by officers who responded to the scene. One person not at the vigil was Officer Familia's ultimate boss, NYC Mayor Bill de Blasio. Jeff, even if I already abhorred everything de Blasio did, which I do, that right there is enough to curry disdain for the New York City mayor.
Well, here's the thing. You know, I don't care if you're a liberal, you're a conservative, etc. But in my mind, the first people that should be honored are the people that put their lives on the line to protect your butt.
Yes.
Okay. And there it is, you know, a veteran of the police force was ambushed. She has three kids and a husband, and he decides that he wants to join the protests for the G20 summit instead of going to her vigil. And this is somebody who actually has had problems with the police before because he's married to a black woman, and he has told his black son basically to be careful with the police because they might shoot him.
Because he's black, yeah.
Well, but it's just, it's horrible. How can somebody in a position of supposed leadership not honor, you know, as we call them, New York's bravest?
I don't know.
And the New York Post headline was just so perfect. You know, he was in Germany, so it said Deutschbag.
Yeah, that's I know, whoever thought of that was brilliant. You continue in the article, instead of being in the city when he was needed, NYC's socialist mayor Bill de Blasio decided to take an all-expense-paid junket to Hamburg so he can make two speeches to the anti-capitalism demonstrations at the G20 summit rather than attend vigil.
I have a correction.
You do?
Yes. We were described it as being all expenses paid.
Yes.
It turns out that New York City paid for it.
Oh, my word.
You know, and again, you know, I think that all good people in any city or any town, when a police officer is ambushed and assassinated, I mean, the woman was sitting in a police vehicle and the, excuse me, schmuck came up to the car and shot her in the head through the car window.
And schmuck is really too good a term for this guy.
Well, yeah, but
Pops
is uglier, but, you know.
Well, I would say he's.
But what I was going to say, the city mourns because yes. New York City loves its protectors.
Yes.
We do.
And they protect the mayor. Hello? He's their boss. They protect him. They protect his family. And yet He's saying disparaging things about them and not attending this memorial service. I'm sorry. That just makes him an absolute son of a bitch, in my opinion.
And folks, listen, I know Tammy very well, okay? To get her to use that term, son of a bitch, is like any normal person using the F word. I mean,
it's not something I say, yeah.
Yeah, it's not something I've heard you say a lot.
Yeah.
Like the second time.
Like almost, I was going to say almost never, and you've known me really, really well for a lot of years, and that's just not what I say, but it is just so horrible, and I don't care what party you're from. I really don't. I think this woman was absolutely assassinated as she was ready to be a first responder and to protect New York City citizens, and she was assassinated, leaving a grieving husband and three kids, and the mayor doesn't have the decency to go to her memorial service. Shame on him.
He did go to the funeral today and understand some of the policemen turned their back on him, which is great.
I'm glad they did that.
If you have a chance, I know Tammy mentioned it before, to go to lidsvids.com and watch the video I have up there of her funeral, especially the part where her three children speak. Oh. If you don't cry from that, you're not human.
See, I haven't watched it yet, and I'm going to go after the show and watch it for sure.
It's so sad. I mean, it really is.
Well, and Jeff, okay, as somebody that's in that general area, I know Long Island is not Manhattan or New York City proper, but right. have you talked to people in the area? Have you heard any feedback about this firsthand?
Yes, people are going nuts.
Well, good.
Well, the thing is that de Blasio isn't a popular mayor anyway, because things like, poverty's up, everything else is, everything that's supposed to be down is up, and everything that's supposed to be up is down. Let's just put it that way.
Imagine that.
And just the people don't like him anyway, and now he's just, they're going crazy, because it's such a thoughtless, selfish thing to do. It's the only way to put it.
Yeah. And the fact that he'd be there at the G20, pretty much giving aid and comfort, so to speak, to those that are opposing what President Trump was saying.
Wait a second. He gave two speeches. One he spent bashing the president.
Uh-huh.
And the other one, believe it or not, he spent praising the German police.
Oh, wow. Okay, this makes no sense.
Well, they did do a great job.
Uh-huh.
But he was praising them for aggravating the violence.
Oh my goodness.
Making it worse. So yeah. And which is true. They did as great a job as they can. But so he honors the German police instead of staying home and honoring the New York police.
Yeah, that's just so, so wrong. See, and that's one thing that Americans loved about Donald Trump was his thing, make America great again, America first. It's not that you have dislike or whatever for other people around the world, but it's like having a family in a community. You might love everybody in that community, but your family comes first. You love your family first and protect your family first. And that's the way America should be to the president and so forth. And so you've got a mayor that's got it standing on its head, and the rest of the world seems to come first, as opposed to the city that he's supposed to take care of and guard and so forth. And it's pretty darn despicable.
Yeah, but today that's not the big stories today. Today there are three bigger stories.
And we'll cover them after the break. And we've got a couple more things we've got to cover, and then you've got to skedaddle because you're going to be on another show of another friend of ours. So you're Mr. Popular tonight.
Can you believe that?
I can believe it.
And then tomorrow afternoon I have another show to do.
You're just killing me.
That's fine.
Yeah, that's great. The Tammy Jackson Show with my wonderful guest, Jeff Dunnitz, will be back to wrap up the hour after the break. The Tammy Jackson Show is sponsored by Robar Guns. They are a true custom firearms finishing shop. They're located in Phoenix, Arizona. You can find them online at robarguns.com. And you wonder what they do. Well, they can sell custom guns that are fantastic, the best of the best. They have superlative rifles, shotguns, and pistols that are made by their gunsmiths, that are true gunsmiths. But they also can give your worn firearm new life. They've got coatings. The smiths can do any customization practically that you want done to your firearm, and it will be a brand new showpiece, let me tell you. So whether you need to give your worn firearm new life or you want a new custom pistol, rifle, or shotgun, check out robarguns.com, sponsor of the Tammy Jackson Show.
You're on the 405.
Shop Amazon, support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
This is Mike from the Wrestling Mayhem Show, the show where we get fans and people in the wrestling industry together to talk about pro wrestling, WWE, NXT, WrestleMania, all kinds of fun. It's a podcast party. Check it out. Wrestling Mayhem Show right here on the 405 Media.
Listen to the Wrestling Mayhem Show now 7 nights a week, 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, right here on the 405media.com.
The 405.
I love Tammy.
I love you back, Kurt, because I'm a caring kind of gal.
The Tammy Jackson Show.
I'm just one conservative gal encouraging you to keep fighting the good fight.
Tammy is what conservative insurgency is about.
Tammy Jackson, the granddaughter of legal immigrants.
In Honduras, they had 60,000 murders per 100,000, or something like that. And I thought, whoa, that is a lot.
Like every other person on the block is dead.
Tammy Jackson, the emerging threat from the West Coast.
Tammy has made herself into a rising radio star.
When we have these mass amounts just suddenly pour into the United States, we have a worse problem than we already have had with assimilation.
The Tammy Jackson Show, Tuesday nights, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, only on the 405media.com.
Anything for you, Tammy.
405.
Military life is rewarding, but it isn't always easy.
Managing the stress can affect even the strongest warrior.
But I can, I will stay mission ready.
I can, I will
keep my mind and body fit.
Talk to my chaplain.
Seek care early.
Strive for progress, not perfection.
I got this.
I got this.
Take the first step.
There's no better time than now.
Reaching out is a sign of strength. Visit realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.
Welcome back for the final segment of the Tammy Jackson Show with my guest, Jeff Dunitz. In case you're...
I really like that guy. Oh, sorry.
In case you're just joining the show, Jeff Dunitz is the proprietor of Lidblog and Lids Vids and writes a weekly political column in the Jewish Star and hosts his own show, The Lid, every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern on SHR Media. He's also going to be on a show of our friends coming up. His name is BZ, and he can give a little plug for that if he wants. Jeff, before the break, we were discussing the disgusting mayor of New York City, who was a no-show at a slain officer's memorial. And you've got some other stuff going on the site, including an article about John McCain. Tell us the scoop on that.
Here's the thing. The guys who were responsible for writing and distributing the Trump dossier that not only said that he was connected to the Russians, but also said some things about some really scurvy things about him that he did sexually with prostitutes.
Yes.
Okay. Well, anyway, they're suing for slander. Okay. And okay. One of the things they're doing is, they said that only two people, or only a few people in the United States knew and saw the that dossier before it was released to the press. This guy who worked for the State Department the last 2 years of the Bush administration, the second Bush, mm-hmm. and Senator McCain. And actually, one of the people said he even discussed it with Senator McCain before it was released.
Oh, wow.
So they're kind of suggesting that one of the people that might have released it to the press might be McCain. Now, we all know that, first of all, John McCain hates anybody that's to the right of Bernie Sanders. Okay, or it's either that or who isn't Lindsey Graham, his mini-me.
Yeah.
And we all know that John McCain does not like Trump. So yep. the thing is, well, is it a possibility? Well, yeah, it is a possibility. Because even McCain admits that he knew about it, that he had a copy of it before the press had it.
Wow.
Is it beyond McCain? I don't know. I mean, he is the guy who gave us all his daughter as a conservative pundit. So, I mean, what else? Anything else he does to the world is really bad. On the other hand, you look at it that, you know, he really does like ripping conservatives. He hates Rand Paul. He hates Ted Cruz. So you put it all together, he's not a big fan of conservatives. And maybe he doesn't like Trump also. Well, I know he doesn't like Trump.
Everybody knows he doesn't like Trump. And I'm always wondering why he's even a Republican. I honor his service in Vietnam. Everybody should do that. Because I'm a big fan of our military. But since then, absolutely. I would have felt better had he remained a public citizen. Quite frankly,
well,
a private citizen.
I say this in the post, and I really, God's honest, truthfully mean it. John McCain is the American poster child for term limits.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And people need to read the story. It's over at Lid Blog. We've only got about 3.5 minutes left. I want you to talk a little bit about al-Baghdadi.
Well, yeah. I mean, basically, this is, you know, people claim he's been dead before, but this is the first time ISIS has said he was killed. So I have a question that if any of your listeners can help me with, I'd really appreciate it. Okay. What do you send for, like, you know, for Shiva, for the mourning family of a Islamist terrorist? I mean, you
not
know,
pork.
Well, the other thing is, you know, people who observe halal, they can eat kosher.
Yes.
But kosher, you can't do it the other way around. But the question is that, you know, here in New York, we generally order from a place called Ben's Deli, and they'll deliver for Shiva anywhere. I just don't know if they'll deliver to Syria.
Yeah, I would hope not. I would think not.
You know, you know, but the best part about the article, you know, I try to keep my site clean.
Right.
You know, but I got to write that he wasn't getting his 72 virgins with big round breasts. And I did not many times I can get away with that on my site and not feel like I said something dirty. You know what I'm saying?
Well, just that whole religion kind of makes you feel that way if you talk about it too much. I'm sorry, but the extremist
thing is,
yeah.
What he didn't know is when he wakes up after dying, Jefferson's going to smack him. Washington's going to smack him because it's not 72 virgins, it's 72 Virginians.
I know. I love it. You've said that before, and it's fantastic. Hey, before we have to wrap up in a minute and a half here, tell us about your new website, Lids Vids. It's
LidsVids.com. It hasn't been a formally open, but it's open. I mean, I've been running it and running 10 to 15 videos a day.
It's like the opening without the grand opening yet.
Yeah, right. A lot of it is politics. but I try to make it a little different. This is also has, like, you know, the cute baby videos. It has funny videos, fails. It has science stuff, animal stuff.
Crashes.
Oh,
crashes.
Look, everybody loves a good crash, right?
Yes.
And I just put up a good fail video. So, I mean, it's a little bit of everything. Obviously, mostly politics, but even political geeks like us need a good something else every once in a while.
Yeah.
But, you know, and it's snarky. I don't do a lot of writing in it because I want people to go, the video is the star. But for example, you know, what's his name? Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski were on The Late Show tonight. And Joe announced that he's leaving the Republican Party. So I put up that video, and the headline was, "See what happens when you start sleeping with your married co-star," who's an extreme liberal.
I know. It doesn't end well. Oh, my goodness.
Well, you know, if you can't be snarky, gotta have some fun.
Yeah, oh, that's just too, too funny. Everybody check it out. LidsVids.com. Got to be there. Jeff, thanks for coming on the show. I'm going to have you back. I love you, Jeff.
Listen to this show every week because she's great.
Oh, that's wonderful.
You know where to send the money, right?
I do. I know where to send the money. Absolutely. Okay, have fun with BZ.
I will. I'll tell him you said hi.
Okay, do so.
Take care.
You too. Thanks for listening, everyone. The Tammy Jackson Show on the 405 will be back next week. I will have more great guests. But until then, this is Tammy Jackson reminding you to wake up. Don't be silent. Let your voice be heard because we have a country to save.
I cut my teeth on the back of an old church pew. I learned to walk in the ways of light and truth, and I was told not to speak till I was spoken to. I heard it preach what I should and I should not do, and the choir sang. I tried to be a good boy, ain't a boy no more. I've seen some things that a man just can't ignore, and this world's gonna see what I'm standing for. I've kept my peace, but I can't hold my tongue anymore. You can't buy my silence, you can't steal my voice, you can't. Down, told me to shut my mouth, but there's a time to speak, and the time is now. The squeaky wheel is always getting grease. Well, I've been sitting still, on the side of the street, always tiptoeing, trying not to wake the beast. Oh, but here I come, all your monsters are gonna run from me. You can't buy my silence, you can't steal my voice, you can't keep me quiet. I will bring the noise, try to beat me down. Shut my
quiet, I will bring the noise. Try to beat me down, tell me to shut my mouth. But there's a time to speak, and the time